Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley. I'm here with the one and only Tanya Tucker, who's coming to the Birchmere on Monday. Tanya, thanks so much for taking the time.
Well, my pleasure, Jason. My pleasure.
Have you ever played the Birchmere? And B, what can we expect if our listeners head out there? We're going to hear some classics, some more newer stuff. What do you got going on?
Well, you know, it's going to be a trip down memory lane, about 45 years. So, you know, we've got a lot of songs, so we can only do a certain amount of them. But, you know, we're just going to be doing, I think this is an acoustic show, isn't it? Yeah, and so we're kind of unplugged version of my songs, and kind of wanted to, you know, kind of strip it down a little bit, and actually a lot, and just it's some music in me and three pickers, you know.
Awesome, and I want to get into.
And if one guy would have played more instruments, we'd have had two.
There's still time. Maybe you can train them more over the weekend.
Yeah, maybe we fire one of them.
Yeah. It's very possible. Awesome. I want to get into some of your songs, obviously, because you're sort of a legend of the genre. But first, I want to go into, you know, how you sort of got into playing in the first place. You grew up in, what was it, Wilcox, Arizona, did your
well,
family?
Well, I went to the sixth grade. The sixth grade there.
Okay, cool.
And then I wouldn't call that growing up, but yeah, that's where I started singing music. Yeah,
gotcha.
At a very young age, you know, I don't remember not singing, but I was probably about six or seven. You know,
okay. And do you remember?
And I was eight when I went on stage, and sort of just did my thing. And my dad was my coach, so and then when someone would come to town, like Ernest Tubb. Who I just loved and was my friend up until his death.
he was walking the floor over you, right?
You betcha.
Yeah.
And waltzed across Texas with you. And, in fact, he came to my 18th birthday party. So I was like, my dad's hero is here. You know, my dad thought he was the best, one of his favorites.
How'd you pull that off, getting him to your birthday?
Well, we were friends. I was 18, and he came out to my ranch outside of Nashville, and my first place I bought, but the judge let me buy, and because I was, you know, underage, and him and Minnie Pearl both came out.
Oh, wow!
And I was so excited. Most 18-year-olds would want, you know, I mean, Lord knows what they'd want now, but back then it was just such a for me, I guess I'm maybe an old soul or something. I just, my friends were always older, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
so it was really great to be able to hang with me. But I was 9 years old when he put me on the stage at the VFW Hall in Wilcox.
How did that happen? Did he just see you in the crowd?
My dad sent my brother down there. He said, you don't go down there because he had to work. He said, you ask him, get up there and ask him if your sister can sing. And so I just found myself sitting on the bus with Ernest Tubb sitting in front of me.
How cool is
and
that?
He said, what do you want to sing tonight on the show? You know, and I said, well, I'd really like to sing Sweet Thing. You know, that's one him and Loretta had.
Yeah.
He said, well, do you do it in the same key Loretta does it in? And of course, I wasn't about to say no, you know. I said, yeah. Boy, when I hit that note, because Loretta sings higher than me, and I'm like, well, is anybody here? I mean, I had to reach up and pull something down there. But I did, and, you know, the first show I was on when I went to Nashville after Delta Dawn on the Grand Ole Opry, I was on Ernest Tubb's portion of the show. How wild is that?
Yeah.
And I walked up to him backstage. He was standing there talking to Connie Smith at the Ryman, and I tugged on his coat, and I said, Mr. Tubb, I'm Tanya Tucker. I have that song, Delta Dawn. He said, 1967, Wilcox, Arizona.
He remembered it.
He remembered me.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's
and I said,
crazy.
Oh, man, that made my whole day. So we became friends, you know.
Wow. That's
To me, he was the king of country music.
Well, you're one of the queens, at least. You're right up there with it. you mentioned Delta Dawn a couple times. I absolutely love the song. I could listen to it on repeat. Tell me where you were. I mean, I know that was sort of your breakthrough, right? We got the Grammys coming up Monday, same day as your show, but that was your big Grammy breakthrough too. I think you got nominated for that. But take me into, you know, where you were when you first came across that song. What you didn't write it, right? It was Larry Collins and Alex Harvey.
My first producer, we've been listening to songs. I come from Las Vegas, that's where I live, me and my dad, and came to Nashville for 2 weeks and listening to songs. But it was like he played me Alex Harvey's, who wrote it, his guitar vocal. And I said, that's my song. And so he said, we're going to cut it tomorrow. So that's how that happened.
Yeah.
You know?
What?
He wanted that. They brought in Happiest Girl in the Whole USA, but after I heard it, I said, it's a great song, but it's not my song.
It almost sounds like it has a little bit of like a little gospel flair to it with the mansion in the sky and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's just one of those songs you can't explain it. It's just like, it's got one of those magical, it just transcends time, you know, and kids love it. Which is unreal. I mean, it's just beyond me. It's just a great song. That's all. You know, I love the bass in it myself. The bass guitar.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
we cut that live.
Oh, you did, really?
Oh yeah, I mean, we cut everything live all at once.
So that's you.
Vocals and music. Yeah,
wow.
Musicians.
You're getting the real deal, right? In real time. That's
amazing. Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like. Like a racehorse, you know, or like a thoroughbred, you know, they breed naturally. Quarter horses, they, you know, they don't. They AI, you know, so you can, from one collection of a stud, you can breed several mares in a quarter horse, but not in the thoroughbred.
Wow.
So they believe you should get the whole shot.
That's
the mare.
That is awesome. I mean, that song came out in, I think, like 72 or something.
1972,
but...
March of, I think it's March 20th, something around there.
Wow. Well, I mean, I wasn't born until 84, and so, you know, I heard your song, you know, back, you know, growing up from my parents and grandparents playing all the old stuff, but then, you can't, what's your secret to keep it going? Because the one I remember in my actual youth was, like, all your early 90s stuff with, you know, Down to My Last Teardrop.
Right.
If Your Heart Ain't Busy Tonight, and I love Two Sparrows in a Hurricane, Some Kind of Trouble, It's a Little Too Late, man. You almost how'd you keep it going? And I mean, I just rattled off like five 90s hits of yours. How did you like keep it going across decades like that?
Well, I didn't always keep it going. So, you know, there were times when I couldn't. So, and there were times when I, you know, maybe have a 3-year stretch where I didn't want to do nothing. But stay out in LA and have a great time, you know. I don't know all the answers to all that. I mean, all I know is I'm me, and I'm here, and been through a lot of shit, but who hasn't? And I continue to go through it. You know, it's not like it's gone away. I mean, you still have tough nights and tough days, and then you have those beautiful moments too, and that's what keeps you going.
As someone who's sort of spanned generations like you have, with huge hits in multiple decades. How have you seen sort of the business and even the sound of country, you know, what's hot and what's played on the radio and things, you know, how have you seen that shift from the days of, let's say, Delta Dawn to then, you know, in the early 90s when you get something like, you know, It's a Little Too Late or something? How do you think, and even more today, it's even changed even more, but, you know, chart the evolution of that sound a little for me.
Well, it's really difficult. I mean, hey, I'd say the world of music is real, and it's more real the way we did it back then. But, you know, there was some bad music back then, too. I mean, there was some stuff that I wouldn't listen to, you know.
Right.
Made country music step back about 20 years, you know. And I was wanting to move it forward. And I thought that if we could pick up some more people, more fans, and people had a misunderstanding of country music. And I wanted to get it straight that we can... someone like me, yeah, someone like George Strait, you know, he's going to be that way. He's going to be George Strait. That's all he's going to do,
yeah,
is what you expect him to do. But me, and I'm kind of like Willie. I like to fool around. You
yeah.
know, I like to
push the envelope.
I like to sing around. You know,
your voice really gets around.
I sing around.
Yeah, I mean, what you said you thought people had sort of a misconception about it. What do you mean by that?
Well, I'm just saying that bad music's bad music. Mm. You know, you're going to have that any year.
Sure.
But the music nowadays on the radio, you know, I mean, it's obvious, you know, there's like 12 guys that tell radio what to play, and that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I guess there's not room enough or time enough to, but I like the radio stations that, you know, play it all, you know. I like to hear, my dream radio station would be Sinatra, then Hank Williams Sr., then go to an Eric Clapton and come back with a Merle Haggard, you know.
I would love that station.
Where, I mean, me too.
Where is it?
where is it? It's right.
Well, so, we're an all-new yeah. station here, so we can't hook you up with that. But we can interview.
Well,
we can interview those
know,
people.
Buddy. The news is radio needs to give it up and do some at least do a portion of old stuff. I mean, some radio stations play a lot of the old stuff mm-hmm. only.
Yeah.
You know. But I like a little variety. I don't know about you, but I like some variety. You know, play Beyonce and then play goddamn Patsy Cline.
Me
you know?
Too, because it's all weaves in and out. There really is no past and present.
As long as it's good, who cares?
Yeah, exactly. And it all influences each other, and there really is no past, present, or future. It's all one big songbook, if you ask me. So I'm glad we're on
exactly.
the same page.
Exactly. I mean, yes, the technology has changed a lot, but man, I listened to Loretta Lynn the other night singing If You're Not Gone Too Long in 1967 on the Opry.
Yeah.
And it sounded freaking great. You know, not a missed note, but it was just, it was mesmerizing, really. And I was supposed to meet her and Willie yesterday, and I missed them somehow. I guess they got the wrong dates, but they were doing some stuff together. And okay, he's giving me the gotta stop sign.
No, it's okay.
My road manager, my tour manager, he is a whip. He whips me if I don't do good.
Well, that's a good thing. He keeps you on schedule. Well, anyway, just in closing, you know, final pitch to get our listeners to come out on Monday to the Birchmere. Why should they come?
Well, I don't know.
For your sense of humor and modesty.
I'm amazed they still want to come see me, you know. And you know what? That area has always been really great for me. I have a lot of fans in that area. And, you know, it's nostalgic, and I love bringing my kids there, you know, because I've got a 16-year-old, my youngest. And I'd really like to bring her with me if I'd had time to go look around, you know.
Right.
It's the capital, right around, you're right around D.C., right?
Yeah, well, our radio's in D.C., and Birchmere is just outside in Alexandria. Yep, right on the border.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know.
Yep. Well, we're excited.
Out the lower 40, upper 40.
Exactly. Well, we're excited to have you, and thanks so much for taking your time out of your Friday to call us.
Well, thank you. It's better now for me. Thanks, Jason.
All right, thanks. Tanya Tucker on WTOP.